Well, hello, I'm Baruch Mirson, and I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. The title of my talk is Nonlinear Hydrodynamics of a Freely Cooling Granular Gas, Clustering Singularities and Shocks. And my collaborators are F.E. Fradi, a graduate student from Jerusalem, and Eli Ligné from Jerusalem, and Andrea Puglisi is a postdoc at the University of Paris. So I'll be talking about the clustering instability in a freely cooling gas of inelastic particles. What I'm going to tell you about today is how this instability develops at a long, at a strongly nonlinear stage at long times. And to make the problem simpler, I'll be talking about the quasi one-dimensional setting, and then we'll recognize that there is flow by inertia, there are attempted singularities that are resolved as shocks, and then I'll speculate, if I have time, about higher dimensions where we have work in progress and few conjectures. This model, it's a sort of toy model, probably the simplest model of granular dynamics, gas of inelastic hard spheres, where you actually capture only a single feature of real granular flow, the inelasticity of collisions. And you characterize everything just by the coefficient of normal restitution. It can change between 0 and 1. 1, we are back to the classical hard sphere model, and 0 is the maximum inelasticity that you are allowed to have in this kind of model. So, of course, the momentum is preserved, but a controlled part of the kinetic energy is lost, and we have monodisperse particles. Sigma is the particle diameter, m is the particle mass. And this is the simplest possible model we can think about. So let's also talk about the simplest possible problem for this model. Just take a bunch of particles, let's say disks in 2D or spheres in 3D, put them in a box. Of course, when I say bunch of particles, I mean a big number of particles, so that we can, at the end of the day, develop a coarse grain description or use the existing coarse grain description. So, and let them collide, and we want to make the problem as simple as possible. We don't introduce any heating, any pumping of energy in any possible way. So it's a freely decaying system, and we want to know what will happen. So again, if left alone, this granular gas obviously will cool because every collision actually dissipates some energy. So it will be just a cooling system. But is that all? Of course, the answer is not. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. There is so-called clustering instability, and this is a picture taken from a paper by Goldfish and Zanetti more than 10 years ago. And this clustering instability actually presents the development of clusters of particles. You see this high density and the voids in the regions in between, and there are also generation of vortices. So this stuff is moving. There's some shear motions and vortices. Well, interestingly enough, this is a sort of very generic and strong instability in the sense that no matter what the inelasticity is, you can take the inelasticity 0.999, but you must stop at a number which is less than 1. So if you fix the inelasticity, no matter how small, and if you fix the density of the system, it is always unstable and always strongly unstable in the thermodynamic limit. Okay, so for any inelasticity and any prescribed density, I can tell you what is the size of the system, so that when the size of the system is bigger than this critical size, the system will be strongly unstable. Viewing from this perspective, actually, it is the gas of elastically colliding particles which is a singular limit of this problem. So the first question, actually, is where do these filaments and the cellular structure come from? And the second question is more provocative. Oh, I thought it will be better. The quality of the picture. It looks very nicely on my computer. So it's a 3D universe map, quite updated map. The credit goes to the STSS team. which shows you the distribution, the large scale distribution of the density in our universe on a scale of clusters and superclusters of galaxies. And if you look at it carefully, you will see the sort of, again, voids and chain-like structure of the density and the cellular structure overall. So is the resemblance coincidental? So if you want to describe things like vortices or clusters, the language of individual particles, whether, of course, it is convenient for simulations, but it is not very convenient as far as theory is concerned. So we want to develop or to use a sort of continuum theory. And if we limit ourselves to dilute gas, and of course, a system big enough so that the mean free path is much less than the size of the system, at least in the beginning, and then to be on the safe side, if we demand that the collisions are nearly elastic, so that the Q parameter Q, 1 minus restitution coefficient divided for convenience by 2, is a small parameter. In this case, we can safely use the sort of classical hydrodynamic, granular hydrodynamic theory, which is often called kinetic theory. I would prefer to use the term of kinetic theory in a case when we attempt to solve a kinetic equation, like Boltzmann kind of equation, generalized to inelastic collisions, where I use this kind of momentum description, which requires an addition scale separation. I would use it the term granular hydrodynamics. So what these equations can tell us about this story? This is the continuity equation. This is the momentum equation. This is the divergence of the stress tensor. And this is the energy equation. And the most important single factor that makes this problem different from, say, a motion of air in this room is the presence of this inelastic loss rate term. So this is, everything is not new, it's known. So if we look at a homogeneous cooling, we just assume that the density remains constant, that the mean flow velocity remains zero, we recall half law, that the temperature goes down with time because of the collisions, inelastic collisions, that there is typical characteristic cooling time, which diverges when the inelasticity goes to zero. For a finite inelasticity, it's a finite value. And not is the average concentration, average number density of the particles in the system. So then we perturb slightly this uniformly cooling state, and this linear theory of instability was developed like about 10 years ago. And you see that there are three different modes here. This is the wave number. So that when the size of the system is big enough so that we can fit a long enough wavelength here, there are two modes that can become unstable. The first is the shear mode that is responsible for the vortices. And the second is the condensation mode, actually just an entropy mode strongly modified by the presence of the inelastic losses. So this is sort of state of the art. And the nonlinear stage of the instability, when these perturbations are already big enough, is actually hard to follow, even numerically. First, the condensation and shear modes become strongly coupled. In a nonlinear regime, you cannot decouple them. Second, there are features that develop at small scales. We see it in numerical simulations. And of course, if you try to solve numerically the hydrodynamic equations like these, you will immediately have the same small scales. And even more importantly, there is a conceptual difficulty with this approach, because as the density in the cluster becomes higher and higher, finally, you have this disorder-order transition in 2D, for example. And hydrodynamics, the equations break down at large enough densities when they're comparable to the closed packing density. So you even don't have a continuum theory anymore. So all these difficulties actually, in my view, actually hindered the further progress in this. In the system, in understanding this system. So the first thing we did about a year ago, we avoided two of these three difficulties. We put the particles into a long and narrow box so that the system is two-dimensional, but the aspect ratio is very large, so that the size of the system in the x direction, let's say, is much bigger than Ly. In this case, you can suppress the shear modes. The shear modes, I mean, there are no vortices if the system is like, you know, very long and narrow channel. And actually, you're dealing with a clustering mode per se. So that the coarse grain quantities depend only on X. So it's sort of hydrodynamically speaking, it's a one-dimensional problem. Though speaking microscopically, it's a two-dimensional or three-dimensional problem, depending on what you wish to do. And the second simplification, we started from a very small area fraction. As I told you, no matter how small the density is, when going to a large enough system, you can have as strong instability as you wish. So we exploited this fact. So we had a few orders of magnitude difference, actually three orders of magnitude difference, between the density, the initial density, and the closed packing density, so that we had a big enough dynamic, large enough dynamic regime to study what is going on with the density when the density contrast is already very large, but still the density is small compared to the dense packing. Now, in this quasi one-dimensional environment, we could also take care of small scales numerically by employing in our numerical solution the Lagrangian coordinates. I don't have time to go into detail, but it's a well-known trick. Using Lagrangian coordinates actually is very convenient, so that the mesh distribution, the grid distribution, actually becomes moving with the mass. So it's automatically put more and more grid points where you develop a strong density clustering. So in this case, the equations become one-dimensional. This is the same hydrodynamic equation I showed you, but we normalize them. We rescale the system size to the coordinate x to the system size, and the density to the initial density, and the temperature to the initial temperature, and the velocity correspondingly. And the typical time, the scale time, is just rescaled by the acoustic time defined by the size of the system and the initial value of the temperature. You see that in this formulation, in the dilute limit, the problem is characterized by two parameters, two scaled parameters. The first is the Knudsen number, which is actually the ratio of the mean free path in the beginning, and the size of the system. And the second is the inelasticity parameter. That's it. Yeah?
When it collapses, is it in the water wall?
Say it again?
What happens? What's the collision of the water when it collapses the wall?
Oh, okay. I'm talking now about hydrodynamics, so that I just solve numerically this set of equations. Your question will become relevant in 5 minutes when I'll be describing how we check these results in MD simulations. And there, of course, we imposed reflecting boundary conditions on the y direction. Excuse me? Oh, for the hydrodynamic fields, it's just periodic boundary conditions. It's periodic boundary conditions. The system is size is one, and there are scaled variables, so the system is of this length, and you have periodic boundary conditions here. Of course, the important thing is this stress tensor, which is now becoming stress scalar, if you want. It's a one-dimensional system. This is the pressure, and this is the viscous part of the stress tensor. K is this Knudsen number, and square root of T, the viscosity, and so on. So here is the result, a typical result of our numerical simulation. We started with a long enough system. These two parameters are small, but actually Q must be much larger than K to have instability, so that this is a typical snapshot of the system. This is the density as a function of X. You know, X here, it changes from -half to 1/2. You see these very narrow clusters. You see this huge contrast of the densities. These are the clusters, actually. These are the strongly nonlinear density condensations. And where you have this density condensation, you have a huge value of the velocity gradient, so that the material comes into the cluster from left and right and supplies the material there. But what actually surprised us is that the temperature continues to go down, N and dV dx grow without limit until our numerical scheme is unable to accurately follow. And so we recognize, at least numerically, that there is a singularity here that develops in a finite time. It's a blow up. Again, despite the fact that there is a lot of nonlinearities here, okay, the linear instability doesn't get stabilized by higher order terms, it gets accelerated. So then to find out what is the reason for that, we just noticed that because the temperature continues to go down, the stress field, the stress tensor becomes sort of irrelevant as the time proceeds. So as the result, you can assume that that the motion actually, at this stage also the temperature equation gets decoupled, and we have this simple, simplistic model of a non-interacting, of motion of non-interacting particles. And this model actually is well known to develop a finite time singularity. So to check that this is indeed what happens, we use the analytical solution. This model is soluble exactly in Lagrangian coordinates. So we describe this singularity of the type of some time minus t naught. At t naught there is a singularity, and also a very similar singularity, similarly looking singularity for the velocity gradient. So, and we have a lot of predictions from this model how the flow must behave, how it must look like close to the singularity. So we went back to the result of our numerics and just started with a controlled initial condition. Initial condition where you have the constant density and the constant temperature and a single mode perturbation of the velocity. So these four profiles are the velocity profiles at different times. And one of the predictions of this flow by inertia, this flow of non-interacting matter, is that all these profiles collapse into a single profile if plotted against x minus vt. So v is plotted against x minus vt. This is indeed what happens. And also the singularities are exactly of the kind that is described by the flow by inertia. 1 over the density goes linearly until it hits 0, so that the density is infinite there. And 1 over the velocity gradient. And also there are more subtle predictions, like, for example, what is the structure of the density peak near the singularity? It's x to the minus 2/3. I don't have time to show this, how to get this exponent, but it's a known result. How much time do I have? 6 minutes. Okay, so then, but of course, hydrodynamics is a simplified theory. Of course, when we go to the real thing, to the gas of inelastic hard spheres, there is a finite size effect. I mean, you can when there is already dense packing, close packing, you cannot squeeze this gas any longer. So it is clear that in reality there cannot be singularity. But the question is still, what we will see if we do MD simulations, and are the singularities stopped, arrested by close packing effect, or maybe we missed something and they will stop before that. So this is what we did. We did sort of more or less the same ideology. We implemented the same ideology in the simulation. We took a very long system, like 500,000 of the particle diameters long, and only 25 diameters wide. And this is the initial density, 10 to the minus 3. And the gas is pretty much elastic, so we don't have to bother about the validity of hydrodynamics when we want to compare it. And again, the periodic boundary conditions in the x direction, and here the Bob's question, reflecting boundary conditions in the y direction. And this setting actually makes it possible to suppress both the shear modes and clustering in the y direction, so that we have, again, speaking hydrodynamically, we have a one-dimensional picture. So this is density history. We have this is sort of noisy initial condition. We have the development of clusters, and you see this dashed line, it's actually the hexagonal dense packing. And these peaks grow, you see a few peaks here. They grow until they hit this value more or less, or close to it, and then of course everything stops growing. And then if we take a snapshot of one of these clusters, a close look at one of these clusters, we have this almost perfect hexagonal packing, which means that the singularities are actually arrested at close packing. Now, what next? Well, of course, we want a little bit earlier. I mean, step back, and checked how the hydrodynamic quantities like density and the velocity gradient, how they behave as a function of time. And what is the spatial distribution of the gas in the region of the singularity? And actually, what we observed is that before, I mean, when the density is still small compared to the close packing hexagonal packing density, it grows like 1 over t, like t naught minus t to the minus one, so that 1 over the maximum density goes down linearly. So before this stage of the arrest of the singularities, the flow by inertia model, the model of flow of non-interacting particles, a flow of particles with a zero stress field, actually works quite nicely. And this is this celebrated profile x minus x max to the minus 2/3 which shows quite a reasonable scaling. So, and then we continued following the hydrodynamic quantities, and what we saw at long times, when already have these well-defined, densely packed clusters, what is next? Of course, the MD simulations become very inefficient here, because most of the time is spent on computing these completely non-physical collisions in the closely packed area. So it was very important for us to recognize what is going on here to be able to make further predictions. So this is the typical graph of the long-time behavior of the velocity profile. And you see everybody familiar with Berger's equation, and we saw Berger's equation here yesterday. Immediately recognized that these N-type waves and these shocks, which correspond to clusters in the density plots, actually behave like mature shocks in the Berger's equation. And we did a few precise tests, like, for example, to convince ourselves that the velocity, this is the coordinate of one of the peaks, which means that the velocity of the shock is constant until it collides with another shock and merges. So at the end of the day, it became completely clear what is going on here. So the late time dynamics actually is describable by the inviscid limit of the Berger's equation. So you have to write a Berger's equation, sort of solve it, and then send the viscosity to zero. And this viscosity, importantly, has nothing to do with the kinetic viscosity that we started with when the gas was hot and dynamics worked well. Here it's only a way of regularizing the result, and it's a correct way of regularizing the result. So when we have flow by inertia, which is arrested by jamming, this is the way to regularize the result. And now this model actually is the model of decaying Berger's turbulence, and it is related very strongly to the so-called ballistic agglomeration model. So at this stage, actually, what we have, all the material, most of the material sits in these clusters. These clusters are actually shock waves if we look at the velocity profiles, and these clusters move and they merge like completely inelastically colliding macro particles. As a result, we can make a prediction for how the average mass of the cluster, the velocity, the number of clusters, and the total energy of the system behaves. And it's very interesting that Ben Naim, Chan, Dulin, and Redner, 5 years ago, even six years ago, observed that this model is a proper hydrodynamic description in a strictly 1D setting that they considered, a point-like inelastic particles moving on a line. So here we see how model of the same type appears from a generic sort of 2 or 3D hydrodynamic environment. So if I have one more minute, a brief speculation about fully multidimensional instability. We argue that the stress tensor freezes up and flow by inertia sets in also in higher dimension, and the energy equation decouples. I don't have time to give you my motivation for this conjecture, but if it is correct, the problem is soluble also in any dimension. And there's a nice theory of singularities classified by Arnold and Bruce. And importantly, similar equations appear in cosmology, and they considered the so-called Zeldovich approximation in the context of large-scale matter distribution in the universe. So accepting this point of view, we see that the Zeldovich pancakes known in astrophysics, or Zeldovich filaments in 2D, have exactly this kind of cellular topology that we observe in numerical in MD simulations. So we claim that the resemblance between this picture and the granular clustering is not coincidental, because despite the fact that the physics is completely different, there is an intermediate stage of the dynamics of one of the system and correspondingly an intermediate stage in the dynamic of the other system, which look the same, which for me it's just a profoundly beautiful comparison, profoundly beautiful similarity. So the question is, what happens beyond the singularities in 2D? And finally, importantly, the Berger's equation cannot be valid in higher dimensions because it completely ignores the vorticity, and vorticity here is very important. These vortices are very important. This is a movie, the quarters of Torsten Pöschel, who is here in this room. You probably see that together with simultaneously with development of the clusters, there is a strong amount of vorticity developing here. And even when we arrive at the stage of free flow of non-interacting particles, this primordial vorticity is still there, and it must be important. And the question that is open, what is the role of the vorticity in arresting the singularity? So actually this talk was about an emerging understanding of the nonlinear stage of clustering instability in sort of toy model, but I hope to have convinced you that it's an educational toy model. Thank you very much. Well, we addressed this model simply because there were no boundary conditions, we required periodic boundary conditions, not just periodicity of the system in all directions. We didn't have to worry about a boundary to boundary conditions. Of course, clustering and also the development of vorticity is a generic phenomenon, and it also must appear in many other geometries and many other contexts, and also in driven systems. So, but it's sort of it's the simplest possible case where we are beginning to understand what is going on.
So, you say this is the first time that hydrodynamic theory has been used to calculate.
It's the first time when hydrodynamic theory, to the best of my knowledge, was used to follow the nonlinear dynamics of clusters. The linear theory was developed like 12 years ago, and I showed you a slide with the names on it. The linear stability analysis, it's a well-established result like 12 years ago, 10 years ago.